This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Happy Saturday, Nova Scotia. I'm hanging out with Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
You got me. You beat me on Nova Scotia. My goodness. Well, while you were gone, CJ and I were talking in the break how we're on a little bit of a heater in the live action. While we're doing the show. So pat ourselves in the back there.
Let's keep it going. Yes. And for those watching at home, Aviators get the win and the cover 24-17.
Minus six and a half in game was live. So
did you get in on that, Ryan?
Yeah. Like I said, when the grade went away, we got in a little bit of juice on it, but that's all right. It's a win. We're 2-0 on the night.
Hey, if you're looking for action, of course you are. That's why you're tuned into VSiN. You got to check out the VSiN Daily Diamond, breaking down the entire MLB slate. Former MLB pitcher Jensen Lewis and Dave Ross break it all down. Lines, totals, props, futures, they do it all. Subscribe to the VSiN Daily Diamond wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, check out all the great podcasts over there on VSiN. VSiN is the Sports Betting Network. Hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line. You know him, you love him. From the Bottom Line Bombs podcast, CJ Sullivan. What's happening, CJ?
What's up? Also, of the UFL gambling podcast with your buddy Colby Dant, who I'm sure will be joining you later. We gave out back-to-back under wins. That under barely came in, 24-17, and the under last night was no sweat whatsoever. The first ever Derby Bowl there with Louisville scoring 3 points. Anyway, how we doing?
It's just great. Kramer, we like doing this segment in the football off season. You can bet on that, where we find interesting stuff that you can bet on in the market. Our buddies near the equator like to offer some non-traditional betting markets.
I had the binoculars out. I was scouring through the internet like those weird geolocation guys, just memorizing terrain. And I said, oh my goodness, well, look at this. That really the keyword, if you ever log into your favorite book, you just want to look for specials, because they never have a good name for the ones that are really good. But we under the NFL category, we have some specials, and it turns out we have a whole section of Mike Vrabel and Diana Rossini related. We'll call them investment opportunities. Now I versus reading off the entire gamut, because it's everything from will he be the coach of week one in 2027 to who will announce divorce first. But I'm just going to scroll right to the right to the one that jumped out at me that I've actually already invested in. It's in pocket, Sean.
Okay.
And that is the, will Diana Rossini start a podcast or a Substack before the end of 2026? You don't have a boss when you do this.
Yeah.
You've seen plenty of people transition, realize they go out on their own. They realize, wow, independence is great. Substack seems like the right answer. Maybe there's some audio stuff too, but 3-1, Sean, plus 300.
So you're like, yes,
by the end of 2026, we have a full 6 months on the calendar, actually 7 months. I love this. I 100. Yeah. Why would she not monetize herself right now?
Her star has never been higher.
And it's going to say, this is the Rachel Nichols route too. When she got canceled from ESPN, now she does a hit podcast where they all realize that she got wrong. She's going to be a victim. I mean, plus 300 was an insane price. It was one of the best ones I saw. And a little peek behind the curtain, this market, Kramer was so excited for this market in general. Early in the office this week, usually I get some artistic, leeway of what segments you want me to do here on Friday night, plays I want to do. You don't want me to force anything. You want to stay in my expertise. And you're like, oh, CJ, Vrabel Rossini markets are open. We are doing it. Lock it down. Bonus segment. Get ready. We are definitely playing this. And that was a fantastic one. Another one I did see, will she post on X by the end of the year, formerly known as Twitter, Noah's minus 110. Lock that up. She deleted the Twitter account. She knows what a bloodbath it is over there. She tried to tweet through it real quickly after the scandal by talking about the referee boycott or whatever strike. And everyone was laughing and crushed her comments. She got ratioed and goes, all right, get me out of here. There's no way she's coming back to Twitter this year. Minus 110 is a lock.
That was one of the big benefactors of her and Vrabel's situation was Dane Brugler's beast, because that was the one of her last posts was a retweet of the beast. So a lot of profile activity. That one's interesting because I do think if she starts the Substack, she lights up the X account with no comments though. Like she turns off replies.
There's
ways around it now. People quote tweet it and then put the thing on there, then they comment under that. All it takes is one big account to quote tweet you, and then that becomes your comments. Twitter's too smart for that. We're going to drag you into mud regardless.
Well, because as CJ's point, all the stuff that has been quote tweeted or retweeted, if she turns her account back on, all those posts now reappear. Then she would have to scrub all those. And I mean, she's left so many, thirsty or insinuating account tweets. It would be too much. I think she will go live on social media, but I don't think it will be X. The X account's too cooked.
And I think the craziest thing about all of this is like the way that she's behaving as the house is falling apart suggests to you that this is not the only time she's done this. She's clearly acting in a reckless. Well, there's two types of people that leave the house with a fire, right? The person that has the bag packed and understand the situation and plan for it, and the person that's scrambling around naked with a laptop computer. That's Diana Russini right now. She's just smashing the delete button. And that being said, this comes down to how much she actually loves her kids and her family. Because if she wanted to like monetize herself, she's working for Barstool before the end of the year.
That's
one of the few places where it benefits her, I think.
I was going to say, it's so interesting because all the news stories came out, the Spotify list, and this goes back 8 years. Like it's almost sad. We're like, oh, this is a real relationship these two had, where it's like, so like now did Diana have an open relationship with her husband? Like, is this kind of like accepted and now that it's out there? Which brings me to the next bet on this market, which is an interesting one to me. Who will announce a divorce first? And Vrabel is plus 250, Diana's minus 400. Obviously, people would think Diana, because her husband has definitely got cucked and humiliated more than anyone. You'd think it's par. I'm sure Vrabel's wife is probably par for the course here for Jennifer. She's been a football player and a coach for his entire life. But I would say not so fast on this one, because Diana's husband, Kevin Goldschmidt, executive at Shake Shack, very wealthy man. He's got to get a lot of his ducks in a row. He's just not going to pop up. Oh, I want a divorce out of emotion. No. There's lawyers. There's paperwork. There's a lot of things he's going to go through before he officially does it. So he doesn't get cleaned out. And Dirty Diana's got all his burger money up there in the canyon there. So I think sprinkling Vrabel plus 250 kind of worth it, because now the wife. Vrabel's wife probably always knew about it, kind of like Carmelo Soprano. But now the TMZ's following her in the grocery store, taking pictures of her. She doesn't need all that. So that I can see something happening there. So I would take the plus money on Vrabel getting a divorce first.
I certainly think when you enter the idea of counseling in the equation, like the way Diana has acted, which is just hide things, delete. Vrabel is going to counseling, which means to me the gun is already in Vrabel's face. To me, while you can make the easy claim, oh, she married this athlete, this is not the first rodeo, perhaps, but maybe this is the last rodeo and the one that makes it easiest to take his money and be set up for the rest of your life.
And maybe it's like, hey, it's one thing if it's happening and it's not national news and I'm not getting harassed, and so maybe this is where the things change. Russini, her husband, announced a divorce before the end of the year. I'm with you, CJ. They announced a divorce minus 150 before the end of the year. I kind of like no here at plus 110. Yeah. the idea that, hey, I mean, she's deleted everything, could be a long, hey, we got to figure things out. They might not make the, and also too, maybe they do get a divorce. It doesn't become public until later. They're not probably dying to make an announcement. So I think you're getting the fact that you're getting plus money on this. I don't mind that at all.
I wouldn't even be surprised they made a statement like we're working on things, which was basically we're doing. My lawyers are working on things. I'm going to send her back to the Vince Lombardi rest stop on the Garden State Parkway when I'm through with this. You know, I mean, this is not going to be a rush job on his part by any means. He is a very wealthy man, but you're exactly right about the Vrabel wife. This might be the last final straw, but I'm not worth laying the chalk. But he'll still be the coach of the Patriots because. What's Robert Kraft going to fire him after his shenanigans down there? No. The old, Florida happy ending joints. I mean, he can't possibly take a moral high ground.
No. Vrabel got a standing ovation on the Pats ticket. The
standing
season
ovation
ticket,
for destroying your family. Way to destroy your family.
He's a football coach. Yeah. He's a football coach.
You don't deserve a standing ovation for that game plan in the Super Bowl. I mean, come on. They look not prepared.
Here's what I'll say too. Last thing, Vrabel's sons are grown. Diana Rossini's kids are young. So you want to talk
motivation, keep it together for the kids.
Exactly.
There you go.
Vrabel, maybe he goes and starts raising his new young kids that he had with Diana Rossini.
Allegedly. Yeah. No, and obviously I do think he will be the head coach. But supposedly they're already talking to Tomlin. Good times as always with our buddy CJ Sullivan. Check him out on the Pops. NHL playoffs and MLB props with Adam Rosenberg of the Propcast. Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Happy Saturday, Sean.
Thank you. Still Friday here.
I'm getting ahead of it.
Okay. Appreciate you getting ahead of it. And of course, it is a happy Saturday if you're watching this, the replay, checking out the podcast, because it's Derby Day on Saturday. VSiN Pro has you covered. Everything you need to bet is in the Kentucky Derby betting guide. Pro guide includes experts, best bets, and predictions. Of course, Mike Somich hit the superfecta last year. Can he do it again? And you can buy it. You can do a one-off if you want. Of course, it's only $14.99, but of course, get it as a subscriber, VSiN.com/subscribe, VSIN.com/subscribe. Talking a little baseball here with our buddy Adam Rosenberg from the Propcast, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, Rosenberg? Our Phillies got rid of Rob Thompson and looking much better.
They got Mattingly and he shaved his sideburns for the entire thing. But also, I want to make sure that you guys know it's also not midnight here on the East Coast either. It's midnight in Halifax, but there's no one to say that to otherwise, other than those people. But Phillies did well, and so we got some good baseball. Phillies are on a 4-game winning streak. It's the second time.
Look
season,
out! So look out! Flyers.
As someone who was a big time childhood fan of Donnie Baseball, aka Don Mattingly. He is not a good manager. Good luck with that.
Thank you. 4 in a row, Ryan.
I'm just saying, good luck with that.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. I mean, it's baseball. Does managing really matter in baseball, Rosenberg?
I don't know if you've seen the movie Little Big League, but the 12-year-old who managed that team proves it to everybody that game situations can be done by anyone. So, We'll see what happens. So,
What do you like here? What do you like here? MLB for the Saturday card? What's jumping out at you?
I like a lot of dogs tomorrow. Saturday is one of those fun days to get to do that. But first thing I'm going with is an under. The Mets and the Angels. This is it. They're playing right now, and Angels are up. But the Mets are terrible. Mets are worse than the Phillies. But tomorrow is a really good pitching matchup on both sides. Nolan McClain, Reed Detmers, who once threw a no-hitter and then got sent down to the minors. Both these guys have pretty high K rates. This is actually relatively a pitcher's park in Anaheim. Fun fact, I once almost went to an Anaheim Angels game. I had bought tickets for the next day, and when I got there, I was so drunk from pre-gaming that I didn't realize I'd bought tickets for the next day, and they did not let me in. So I got to the gate but didn't get in. And anyway, I like the under tomorrow because when you have two pitchers with K rates over 25% and as terrible an offensive team as the Mets are, that just screams under. So eight and a half is out there. You can do it down to eight. Take an alt. Have some fun with this one. But an under tomorrow in the Mets and Angels game.
I'm in. Love a good hitters duel there out in Anaheim. Kramer, didn't you get a citation for drinking in the parking lot of Anaheim?
Your story brings me back. So as a Yankees fan, when I first moved out to California, it was much easier to go see them play the Angels. And Angels fans are just the worst, and they don't want to go to games. They just want to make money off their season tickets. So go down there with a friend of the program, Bill, or Will, formerly Bill. And we're hanging out in my Honda Element, which is a very awesome car to tailgate. We're sitting in the back, and next thing you know, two cops on horseback are giving us a pre-printed citation for drinking in the parking lot of Anaheim. That was before I knew that basically in California you can't tailgate anywhere but the colleges.
Yeah, Rose Bowl's the only good tailgating spot. I'm on some list at Dodger Stadium, and the guy's like, I'm putting you on a list, and I'm like, what? A list of a guy who likes to have a beer in the parking lot at Dodger Stadium? He nods his head. I'm like, all right, write it down. What are you gonna do?
Dodger Stadium, you can't mess around. You can't even sit in your car for a second.
A couple of incidents, I guess, ruined it for everyone. I see you got a play here on the Sacramento. Oakland, Las Vegas Athletics. What do you like here, Rosenberg?
I like this Athletics team tomorrow. Slade, a noted Italian American, I should say, Slade Ciccone, tomorrow is starting. He is the worst pitcher on the slate tomorrow. Not just saying that to get at Kramer. It's data backed. He's got an ERA of 6.23, an expected ERA of 5.2. His WHIP is near 2. He doesn't strike guys out. He's even worse on the road. He's got an ERA of 7. And Jacob Lopez is actually not that bad. He's a lefty for the Athletics. The Athletics just play better when they're in Sutter Health, when they're playing in Sacramento. And I think this is great. You get some pretty good plus money for them to win big. They seem to they hit better. They're up right now. This is a really good spot for a team that likes to hit well at home against a really bad pitcher. And it's as simple as that. So give me the A's on the run line at plus 135 for tomorrow.
All right. Yeah. Little A's action. Now we're going to skip ahead because I see some juicy plus money stuff as a baseball casual. This market, the most wins market, and shout out to our buddy, Chris Massaro. I know he just cashed on the Braves most wins in April. I saw him on Follow the Money talking about that. Who do you like for the most wins market in May?
I like our Phillies at 14 yes. to 1. It's a great buy low spot, first of all. They also have a really favorable schedule for the month. They play the Rockies, they play the A's, not in Sutter Health. They play them at home. And they have a 4-game set right now against the Marlins. They won tonight. So they can have a pretty solid 7-3 in that first 10. Obviously a lot has to happen and these kind of markets are a little bit of darts, but you're not getting it any lower for the Phillies. The only tough teams that they play are at the end of the month. They have one of the games crosses over with the Dodgers, and they play 3 games with the Padres, who I don't think are very good. So I think it's a real manageable schedule. I think it's a buy low spot on the Phillies and a fun number for something you could forget that you even bet and root on at the end of the month and find, oh my God, I cashed Phillies most wins in May as they are back in it by June 1st.
Now we're talking.
It's so predictable. It's like when I pull the treats out with my dogs. You throw a like pro a good, Philadelphia.
I like a good Phillies homer play. Next thing you know,
Sean's into the guest.
All of a sudden, I'm into baseball.
I see what Adam did here. He's buttering you up.
Adam, talking about putting in some bets and forgetting about them, aka the futures market. I see you got a 50-1 shot. Now I'm really all ears. What are you doing here in the futures market at 50-1?
So there's a pitcher on the Boston Red Sox named Peyton Tolley, and he looks like a he looks like Tom Selleck circa Magnum PI era. He's awesome.
Great.
This guy may or may not have been at the Capitol on January 6th, but he is a elite lefty. They love him with their ace Garrett Crochet on the IL with Sonny Gray hurt. This is a really good spot for a rookie who debuted against the Yankees with 11 Ks. He had played a little last year, but he had 11 Ks against the Yankees in a no decision. This is a really good spot for him to get a good share of the win share. And what happens in rookie of the year markets for baseball, pitchers move because of way more variance. You could have a 10 K game. Suddenly you're plus 200. He was 20-1 preseason when they weren't sure if he was going to make the roster or not. So any way you cut it, this is just great value on a guy that they love as their top prospect who just got there. So, give me Peyton Tolley 50-1. You don't have to be on a really good team. If you have, especially if you're a pitcher and you're responsible for, 40% of the team's wins. This is a good bet, I think, for rookie of the year, Peyton Tolley 50-1 in the AL.
Kramer, you pulled up a picture in the studio. This guy's amazing.
I just wanted
to
show you what he looked like. Also, a Wichita State Shocker.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How old is this guy? He looks like he's like 45. He's a rookie.
He's young. He's he's young. He's really young. He does look. He's got some miles. But he's not. He's not a
old.
He's not
soul.
A Kevin Costner rookie. He's an old soul.
Second round pick in the 2024 MLB draft.
Show, oh, okay. So love a good
MLB story checks out.
Adam, what about the most exciting playoffs in sports? The Stanley Cup playoffs. Do you have some? I see you got a couple of props, some series props. What are you doing here?
So, unfortunately, I am taking some guys against our Flyers. Flyers. Yeah, sorry, guys. Look, if you like the Flyers, bet Dan Vladar for Conn Smythe, because that's how they're going to win anything. But Andrei Svechnikov for Canes, I like him for most goals in the series at plus 950. He had 31 goals in regular season. He's a power play merchant, too. Flyers team really can't score, so I don't really like anybody on that side. And also Jackson Blake, also on Carolina, 22-1. For him for the most goals in the series. This is a fun market to play. I just won on Porter Martrone on the Flyers at 22-1 for the most goals in the series. These are nice ones. I think this is a 4-1 gentleman's sweep, but I would love to be pleasantly surprised. So those are two series props that I do like, as more will be coming out in the next couple of days, but those are two they can get on tomorrow for the first game of the series.
Kramer, see, this is what happens as a bandwagon fan. When I set up Rosenberg, I didn't realize these guys were on the Carolina.
You were
very
excited
unfortunate.
About them.
I was excited because I thought might be on the Flyers. So that's a problem of being a bandwagon fan. Good stuff. Check out the prop cast. When we return, we talk UFL with Colby Dan.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Oh, just got some playoff hockey on in the studio. Enjoy the sweat.
Yes. And we got
will blame CJ fully if we lose this one, right? Yes. It won't count against our record.
That's what's great about tailing picks. You if it wins, you get a cash. If you lose, you get someone to blame.
Yeah, and he's not here to defend himself. So
exactly. We can throw him under the bus. Hey, we were talking Derby with CJ Sullivan earlier. Go back, check that out. But of course, if you're getting the Kentucky Derby, don't just pick a pretty name. Get the data that wins. Daily Racing Form's Derby package gives you past performances, clocker reports, and expert picks all in one place. Right now, you can save 37%, but only for a limited time. Go to shop.drf.com or scan the QR code on your screen. DRF, bet smarter. Joining us on the Progressive Guest Line, a man who always bet smarter, not harder. You know him from the UFL Gambling Podcast, the college experience. Colby Dant, AKA Pick Dundee. What's happening, Colby?
Oh man, just a nice UFL cash on the under and the the aviation or the aviators, whatever you want to call them.
Yes, you were telling us in the break. Kramer and I were on air. We only have a limited amount of monitors in studio. We were sweating out the Rockets Lakers first half under that cash. We were also on the Aviators laying the points with you. How did that game end? Of course, the Aviators did get the win 24-17, but it got close there. What did we miss?
Yeah, so I mean, they cut it to seven. Then the Aviation had to punt the ball. They had like a 4th and 25, and Houston gets the ball at like their own 10. Tulia Tagovailoa takes a sack. He gets injured. They elect not to put in their quarterback Hunter Deckers and just pivot a wide receiver to the quarterback spot. And it's like they have never practiced the 2 minute warning, because they basically got two plays and blew about 50 seconds. And lost the game, didn't move the ball 1 yard. So fun times in the UFL.
So, well, good for us though. And of course you were on the under as well. So, nice work by us.
Well, and you did all of that. We haven't even mentioned the Thursday night game. So
Thursday night game was ugly.
Shout out to the league.
Yeah. 16-3 Louisville Kings did not get in the end zone there.
Also, I'd like to apologize for my home game, handicap, thinking there'd be Kentucky Derby fans.
They did not move the needle.
Taking advantage of the free ticket. Crowd,
maybe not moving the needle. Although we got two more games of UFL action. We got a game tomorrow, Saturday AM, and then Sunday as well. Kramer, what are we looking at?
I almost want to call one of these games the game of the weekend. I don't know if we can get there though. The league is getting to that point in the season, but we have the Defenders taking on the Renegades. Defenders, also one of the teams we respect as a real team. They have a fan base. They have an identity with the Beer Snake. They can fill up 40% of a stadium, no problem, even if it's an MLS stadium. 3.5 they're laying at home here. 49 is the total. This was 3 when we discussed it earlier in the week. We laughed at the spread, thinking that DC is very clearly one of the best teams in the league, and Dallas maybe a little fugazi. At least some of us laughed at it. I think we all agreed on this one. Colby, I'll let us know who you like here. But for me, and I'm seeing this, the spread on the screen is 4.5. You can still find some 3.5s out there. To me, DC is the best team in the league by a mile, and I think we lay it until we get proven wrong. Colby?
Yeah, I think I'll co-sign that one. I mean, all these spring leagues, maybe the first year we had the USFL in 2021, I think, the Birmingham Stallions would be the only team that I think might be this much better than the rest of the league. They are the top two teams on DK odds wise to play in the championship there. But the Renegades are a sinking ship right now. All right. The past 2 weeks they've given up, 348 yards on the ground, at 5 yards of rush, just about there. So between that, Austin Reed, their quarterback, is they're the number one passing team, the Renegades are, but not the past 2 weeks. He threw 4 interceptions last week. His confidence looks in question. They traded away Luis Perez, the spring king. So going up against the league's second best pass defense, I think the Greg Williams' son will be able to check that a little bit. They blitz aggressively. They'll keep Austin Reed guessing. And the real thing I love is DC's the best running team in the league against the worst defense over the past couple of weeks, rushing the ball. So DC, I'll lay it there. I do like the over, because Greg Williams' son, they gamble a lot defensively. So I think there will be some points in this game. But I got to take the Defenders here.
Yeah.
Louisville, the Kings, scored 47 points on this defense last week. They scored 3 points this week. That's all you need to know about this Renegades team.
I mean, the Defenders
are going to score 40 points in this game.
The Dallas defense is horrific, and
I love the over.
They cannot stop the run at all. The over is probably the play, because as Colby points out, I think the Defenders get up big, maybe they maybe Dallas gets some points here in garbage time. But to me, it's just you lay the points with DC. I mean, this should be 7.5, 8.5. They're just going to destroy this Renegades team. They got blown out at home, which is crazy to lose. You're really bad if you lose by 22 points at home in the UFL. So I could not take them all day on the defenders laying the points.
Yeah, this should be a touchdown. This should be a touchdown. All right, the Sunday game, Stallion Storm, Birmingham heads to Orlando. Orlando, when we were discussed this earlier in the week, it was all the way out to 5.5. It's come back in a little bit to 4.5. Colby, thoughts on a failed politician, AJ McCarron, and the Birmingham Stallions here?
I mean, you can't love their team this year because they're by far the worst defense in the league. I've given up about 328 yards per game, and that is, in a spring league, that's substantial. That's not a good thing. But one of the good things they did was they traded for Dorian Thompson Robinson, who clearly showed last week in his first game as a Stallion. He almost broke the passing record for the league in game one on short. I think 2 days before, so 2 days of knowing the playbook. So I don't know that they're completely live on the money line. I think it's worth a shot, but I do like them in the points because I think this DTR got traded from Orlando going up against his former team. Plummer, the quarterback that they went with over DTR, looks very questionable of late. And they just played a couple weeks ago. Orlando won 16-0. So it's a revenge game for Birmingham as well. I like Birmingham in the points here, but I think it's worth a shot on the money line, even though they have the worst defense in the league. I think it's worth a shot the way DTR flashed last week. Now he's got more time knowing that offense.
Yeah, I like the team revenge and I like the personal revenge with DTR. I mean, DTR is the perfect spring quarterback. When we saw he got signed to Orlando, we thought, oh, hey, maybe we like the Storm in the futures market. But for some reason, those crazy UFL training camp battles, which no one covers, Plummer got the start. And then, of course, those crazy UFL trades. Why would you trade DTR? He's obviously good enough to be an instant starter for another team.
Because one owner owns all the teams.
Yeah, and they won competitive games, which would suggest you take the dog here.
Also,
I think DTR is good.
Shows the gap between, you know, DTR is essentially like a really good third string quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
He drops into the UFL and immediately just dominant. And so, yeah, for my quarterback power rankings in the UFL, I have him number two only to Jordan Tamu.
Really?
Yeah. I think this is going to be an undervalued Stallions team for now. The defense might hold them back, but this is another one, Colby, probably playing the over here too, as well.
Oh, well, yeah. 100% here. I mean, especially the way last game went, I think that they've set the line a little bit lower than what you would traditionally expect in these leagues. So people are going to see that 16-0, I think, rush for the under. I think the over is the play.
Yeah, no, the last game they played, obviously DTR was not on the Stallions yet, so expect a very different game script. Now, maybe their defense is the issue, but on the other side, Orlando's offense has not looked good, especially recently. So, yeah, I thought Orlando's defense would be able to get it done. That's clearly not the case. They looked rough there against the Battlehawks, who have a good defense, but I think the Stallions can at least keep it close here. 4.5 feels way too high.
Yep, I'm with you. Lockstep.
Yeah. All right, Kramer, are you on the money line for the Stallions?
Yeah, absolutely. With this league, you got to play them. If you're playing a dog, you got to play the money line. Yeah, what are you doing?
Come on. Let's go. All right. So we're on the Stallions, +4.5, little sprinkle on the money line. DC defenders all day. Even losing a little bit of the point value. Of course, if you listen to our podcast, Sports Gambling Podcast, check it out as this is our last VSiN show for a while, season finale. Subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast. You could have been sitting on the defenders -3. So check us out, Sports Gambling Podcast. And of course, Colby, College Experience. When we return, we will talk early college football lines. There's some week one, week zero lines. We're going to talk some. Stay tuned. Sports Gambling Podcast Live here on VSiN.
This This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Greetings, Sean.
Greetings. We're here talking, going to talk a little college football here in a second, but producer Johnny was able to pull a photo of Peyton Tole, the guy that we're going to get a 50-1 AL Rookie of the Year shot on. And we were breaking down this guy's mustache. It's pretty, pretty epic. If we can show the photo, look at this stash. That is,
he's thick too. Yeah. He's not one of these skinny boys. He's thick. He's got a mustache. He's from,
this is why it's kind of disappointing that they've gotten, taken chewing tobacco out of the game. Cause this guy looks like he just needs a giant lip pillow in there, as the kids say.
I wonder if it won't come back. You know what I mean?
Chaw?
You know, things are changing. Okay. Times are swinging. The pendulum is swinging back. Maybe
all different directions.
I have a high school, a couple high school age kids in there. I'm kind of always surprised at what kids are into and what they're not into.
Really?
With the popularity of pouches, I figured that the idea of dipping would be gone, but baseball players, it's like a rite of passage still, from what I understand. So you know, who knows, Sean? Who knows? Okay,
maybe there is hope for the young people. Hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line, talking a little college football here. Colby Dan from the College Experience. Colby, we got to talk about Texas Tech quarterback or former quarterback Brendan Sorsby. Apparently,
you know, I'm a degenerate.
He was placing a lot of bets, a lot of action. It sounds like he's not coming back to college football anytime soon. Do we still like Texas Tech? What are their chances? What do you make of this whole scandal?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they would have. I think you're going to see moving forward, much like in any of the pro sports, there, before you give someone a bunch of money in college sports, I think moving forward you will see maybe a deep dive background check wise, probably hire a company to do that, like the NFL does, or the NBA or NHL or whatever, because that's tough, because you know they have the money to. That was really the one weakness last year on Texas Tech. You know, even though Morton got drafted, is like that was the clear flaw, I think, as you watch them throughout the year. And you know they have all the money in the world right now with Cody Campbell backing them, and to essentially whiff on that is tough, but I still wouldn't hit the panic button yet. One of the things I think that really the kid that played good for them, the freshman Will Hammond. Now I don't know his injury status return, because he tore an ACL, but he played great at Utah and really kind of was that difference maker at Utah. Completed 63% of his passes last season. He's a sophomore this year, considering that if he's healthy, ready to go at the beginning of the year. And another thing is they brought in Kirk Francis, a Tulsa transfer, that was supposed to back them up. I think he's good enough to win a couple games there. If they got to wait for Hammond to return. So yeah, it's a bummer. Obviously you're not as good as a football team probably because obviously, you know, he was the top quarterback in the portal, some say. But I still think you can be a college football playoff team.
Well, who knows? It sounds like he had other hobbies that maybe took him away from learning the playbook and grinding the film. He was also a draft guy. I wonder, my biggest question with him is what happens to him. I think it's too hot for him to go into the NFL supplemental draft, even though he probably, like, he almost certainly would have been a draft pick. He has the NFL size. I believe he's like 6'3", 220, 230.
Yeah, so, what does he do a year in the maybe the CFL? Some one of these.
I'm looking at
late signing by our Stallions.
So the look ahead stuff is never reliable, but he's certainly in the clump of quarterbacks that are going to be looked at by the NFL. I would imagine, you know, there's a world where he could be a, you know, second round pick. Who knows? You know, it always gets weird. So, but what's the suspension? You know, there's going to be some sort of like secret. No one touches him for a little bit, and then he gets the rehab. Starts in the UFL, starts in the CFL.
We'll see. 100%.
Yeah, it feels like you just play somewhere.
You just saw today Hunter Decker's playing for the Gamblers, so he didn't come in, but he was on the sidelines, and he's a guy that bet at Iowa State, So, I mean, the thing that's different about this one is he bet on his own team, which I think the NCAA is going to be forced to throw the book at him. I think his college days are done. And I do think the NFL will not. This guy was projected first or second round draft pick. So it's really crazy that he did this. And some of this stuff, I wonder if his lawyers can battle, because some of this was before the NCAA put the certain rules in. So maybe he's got a little bit of a case in that capacity because he was a redshirt freshman, and it goes back to before they had NCAA rulings on betting that they put in there after the Decker situation.
It doesn't matter though. I'm sure a court would rule like relative common sense in this matter. Also, just no one's going to be compassionate to someone who bet on it. It's like there's layers, right? You can bet on other sports, you can bet on the same sport, and you can bet on the same team.
And yeah, he wasn't betting against his own team.
It doesn't matter though. Once you get into the bubble of betting on your own team, people are just going to that's the ultimate bad. Like Pete Rose was the worst guy in the world for many, 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 many years because he did that. And so, to Colby's point, I looked up so we'll see what he would get measured at a combine, but 6'3.5", 235, allegedly runs a 4.6 40. Like that is absolute to NFL size, speed, talent. So, you know,
I do like that the UFL is just forming a league of guys who bet on themselves in college football. Great
metaphorically and figuratively.
Yeah, seriously. But Colby, college week one lines are out. Kramer, what are the games? What are you Colby? Yeah. Why don't you go? What's jumping out at you on the lines here?
The one I love I like pretty much all these games, but one is the Louisville game in Nashville, Tennessee against Ole Miss. Ole Miss, you know, they were in a tough spot last year, and you know they had to go with Pete Golding because Kiffin left midseason when they were going to the playoffs. We'd never seen that before in college sports. I don't blame them, but at the same time, I'm not sure Pete Golding has convinced us that he's a good football coach yet. And Trinidad Chambliss, life's a little different when you get a big bag of cash as opposed to last season. He got a big check, and it's different being, you know, the main guy on campus. So Louisville, if you look at their season a year ago, 9 wins, 7 points away from going 12-1. Jeff Brohm is a dog, historically great, and I kind of feel like this will be a Louisville crowd with it being right there in Nashville. If anything, I think Louisville is going to be better this year, because the one thing that I think they kind of whiffed on last year was Miller Moss, the USC transfer. Even though they were, you know, 7 points away from going 12-1, they went out and they got Lincoln Keenholz, Ohio State transfer, who is supposed to be the real deal, big time recruit. And with Jeff Brohm, you know, with him, I really think they're going to be a pretty potent offense passing the ball. They also brought in some top notch wideouts in the portal. So I think I think Louisville is live to not only cover the 7 points, I think they're going to win it on the money line there against Ole Miss. I don't know about Ole Miss this year moving forward. They got some guys drafted. It's a brand new team with Pete Golding. Credit to him for making it work last year. But now we really see if you're a real good football coach.
Well, and I mean, yeah, they lost the number one receiver in college, according to Kyle Shanahan, in Stripling.
Yeah.
Great value there at the top of the second round.
And losing Lane. As much as we're Lane detractors at times, certainly it's going to take a little bit. I would be surprised if this Ole Miss team hit the ground running. Lane 7 on a neutral. I'm with Colby. That's way too high.
The period was the playoff when they had the chip on their shoulder.
Yeah. And that period, unfortunately, is gone for Ole Miss football. What's another week one game you like here, Colby?
Yeah, this is week zero. I'm going to take you to, I was at week this zero. Game a year ago in Chapel Hill, but
the Belichick debut.
TCU, North Carolina. I think there's value on Carolina to win this game in Dublin. This year it's in Dublin. You know, the yearly kick there in Dublin that they do each and every year. The reason why I like it is I thought Belichick under, you know, his son, Steve Belichick's running the defense. I thought the defense as the season went along, minus the season finale, had improved. And I kind of think if you really look at that season last year, I know there was embarrassing games, the game I was at against TCU, but they had two really close losses running the ball into the end zone against Cal. They should have beat Virginia. Yeah. That would have put them in a bowl. And one of the things I love that he did was bring in Bobby Petrino for the offensive coordinating position. They bring in Billy Edwards, and watch out. Taron Dickens is an F. If you're looking for this year's Trinidad Chambliss, Taron Dickens, he started a game 46 of 46 a year ago in the FCS. So I like him with Bobby Petrino. I think they're live on the money line against TCU there in Dublin.
All right, get the Photoshop. Bobby Petrino's driving the bike. Belichick's in the sidecar.
Oh, we got to do a Irish theme, Ryan.
Well, yeah, they're coming back from the bar.
They're drinking some Guinness. Yeah, dogs have been great over in Ireland. Could not wait to be betting some week zero. And maybe we'll be out there for contest sign-up weekend. Shout out to the Circa, the pro football contest. Just Circa Million, Circa Survivor right around the corner. Check out Colby Dan College Experience. When we return, sports betting blackjack.